Emma and Tom Talk Teaching, a podcast about all things education presented by Emma O'Doher and Tom Breeze. Authentic Contexts for Learning with Katie Beresford and Liz Berry.
Welcome back, everyone, to Emma and Tom Talk Teaching for another special episode that deals with a session that we run annually for our PGC secondary student teachers on our programmes here at Cardiff Met. It's a session that we run that looks at an aspect of curriculum for Wales, and basically we pull together a panel of experts to deal with a particular topic associated with curriculum for Wales.
Yes, and we normally record it as live because it's quite nice to have a bit of atmosphere in the room, adds a bit of jeopardy to the proceedings as well. But unfortunately, it was a busy day in the lecture theatre and we couldn't get in and set all our wires up. So we've had to come back after the event, because it was a great event, and speak to our experts afterwards about their topic. So yes, we picked something to do with curriculum for Wales, far too big to chew that one over in a 50-minute lecture, and ask a bunch of people about it. So we had a particular topic this time around, which was authentic contexts for learning, which I think appeared all the way back in the Donaldson report, didn't it, in 2015. He was quite a fan of it.
He absolutely was. And I guess, you know, in a nutshell, this is where the teacher sort of creates opportunities within learning experiences where pupils can make connections with what they're learning in the curriculum and the real world and their real life. So it sort of really sort of starts to make sense to them why they're learning what they're learning and how it's going to help them in their real lives. And actually, this is something that our student teachers ought to be very interested in, because it's baked into the professional standards for teaching and leadership. They've got one that deals with real life authentic contexts where they are expected to make those authentic connections, and that being a sort of natural part of the learning experience. And what we tend to do is we pull together a panel and we set them a question in relation to the topic. They provide a little bit of a presentation on this to get the student teachers thinking, and then they got the opportunity for questions. So the question that we asked them this year was, what for you are the opportunities and challenges of providing authentic contexts for pupils' learning?
And although we only do it with secondary PGC student teachers, we like to kind of mix it up a little bit, because they need to know what's going on in primary. They need to think about it across subjects. So we had a secondary person and a primary person. We always try and have somebody else who, in the first take of this episode, you referred to as a wild card and then mentioned Welsh Government. So we didn't manage.
Yeah, it was not very wild, was
Hello,
it?
Hello, Welsh Government.
We let our hair down there and that
know
one.
You're listening. But our wild card this time, instead of somebody from Welsh Government, was somebody even wilder, which is Katie Beresford, who was one of our PGC student teachers and then took a massive career swerve into something much wilder, didn't you, Katie? So you tell us what you did once you escaped these four walls.
Yeah, well, I was looking at my calendar. It was actually this time last year that I had the interview for the job, because I am now the programme trainer for Wales at the charity Money Ready. So from the PGCE, I'd say more of a pivot than a wild turn myself.
Handbrake turn.
And there were lots of questions around that we're not going to put to you today. But for those who aren't familiar with Money Ready, they might be familiar with My Bunk.
Yeah, so we've just rebranded and just sort of almost relaunched ourselves, because we've been going for about 17 years as a charity. But it's only since 2024 that we've been in all four nations. So My Bunk, started in London in 2007. And since then, we have grown and grown and grown to work with over 50,000 young people every year. And currently, we're aiming to work with ages 7 plus to around 37, because we've realised that that's when most people are actually doing those big financial milestones, like buying a first house. The average age is around 37 now. So I work with primary schools, secondary schools, young adults, adults, housing associations, loads of different contexts, teaching them the skills of financial education and trying to create as authentic a context as possible for those skills that everyone always says, oh, I wish I learned that in school. We do those lessons, which is really lovely for that authentication side of things.
So having listened to Katie a little bit there, you're probably starting to understand why we felt it was important to get somebody in from the third sector. And often third sector organisations work very, very closely with schools. But I think for student teachers, it's not always completely clear how that happens. There were quite a few questions in the room after the panel presentations around, you know, so how do I make this happen?
Almost the logistics of it. it.
Yeah, yes, absolutely. But before we get into that, we should probably find out from you what your response was to that question. So what for you are the opportunities and challenges of providing that authentic context for people's learning when it comes to money matters?
Mm. Well, I tried to break it down as like, so I tried to approach this as almost all third sectors, as well as my personal experience so far. And I thought about it in sort of three different chunks, which is like before, during and after. I thought it sounded quite tidy. So before I go into a school or whatever context I'm working with, what's really important to the work that we do is that it runs alongside the curriculum, can complement work that the provider is already giving to their learners. And one of the big things is those logistics, is getting our foot in the door, is finding the teacher who will be able to book us in and have us come in, or has that interest or that link to financial education. Because even that as an offer is quite hard to explain. You know, people think it's just going to be a maths lesson, they think it's going to be really heavy, but actually a lot of what we do is more about the habits, that habit creation, the small things that we can do every day. And the reason we work from age 7 is because that is when the research has found those money habits are formed. So that first thing is explaining what it is that we do. So word of mouth is great for that, having people that we can actually have the full conversations with. But that's so hard when teachers are incredibly busy, to find that person to just get us in, to make it as easy as possible for them and to complement what they're already doing. So it's also then, yeah, the logistics, the timings, the amount of pupils we can work with, the impact that we can have within the school, whatever that might mean for them. And then during, what's really interesting is that on PGCE, a lot of student teachers feel like they don't know their pupils, that they're at the start of that journey. But those relationships are so important to get as quickly as possible. And I think that's really helped me in the work that I do, because a lot of the time I've got 1 hour with pupils, with a class of 30 that I've never worked with before. And getting that buy-in, getting that human connection makes such a huge difference of them enjoying themselves and finding purpose and finding meaning with whatever you're learning with them. So I think it's just, as a teacher or as a practitioner, as a trainer, whatever you are, getting that hook is so important, and something that I really try and do no matter who I'm working with, for how long, depending on what program we're doing. I can be with someone for an hour or for 8 hours or a few days. But during it, it's really trying to make those links apparent. And I had a really lovely moment before last half term where I was teaching APR and AER and interest rates, which is something we look at with saving and with borrowing. And we do that for year 5, I think we first really approached that, up until when we're working with all adults. And the year 6 teacher I was in with got really excited because he realised that was a link into percentages, and he was going to be doing that in maths after half term. So could use that authentic context we looked at to make it worth the while of the learners that he had. So that was a really lovely seeing that link happen from the work, and it complementing and building on what the school's already doing. And then afterwards, it made me think that in schools, data is really important, and that a lot of the time it's a senior leadership team. That was great when we were doing the panel, talking to senior leaders there, and the things they have to consider when it comes to budget and balance and making sure that they're providing for their staff as well as their learners. And we have to also provide that sort of data, but more to our funders. And that means sometimes our hands are tied of who we can work with and where we need to be getting almost the hours in, the work in. And making sure that we're split between the different ages and who our funders want us to work with. But that means that we can be innovative and that we can work with tens of thousands of people across the country. We're doing more work as well with online programs and offering more through our website and short form and long form. And it's really exciting to myself getting to be involved with that innovation as well as the day-to-day delivery that I do. So for all of that together, broadly and personally as well, I suppose, like what we can do as a third sector is offer expertise and fully developed sessions on top of what teachers are already doing, because teachers are expected to deliver their own subject and then the soft skills and the important things and the helping individuals be nice human beings as well. So we just get to come in and offer something a bit different. And I think sometimes being a different face makes a huge difference to that attention span that people can have. We can link the learning to real life that happens, and we can collaborate with schools. And like you're saying, working closely with them to keep building and keep developing what they are already doing, I think is really important to me.
And I suppose just thinking about authentic context for learning and curriculum for Wales in particular, I mean, schools have got so much freedom to design their own curriculums, but they're really grappling with that kind of coherence thing. And I guess there's a danger, isn't there, that when they bring someone like you in to do your thing, that it becomes a little isolated, exciting novelty moment in time. So perhaps there's a recommendation there for teachers just to sort of think about how they seamlessly integrate you into that curriculum experience rather than have you turn up and do this thing and then it just sort of ends and has no legacy.
Completely weaving it in more to what is being done and trying to use it, I suppose, like a bit of a stepping stone, but also loads of the time we have it when I'm in classrooms or especially my like young adult work, it'll be the tutor or the teacher who's in the room that'll say, I didn't realise that. I'm going to check this. And I think it's sometimes realising that the authentic context hit more when you're an adult living independently. And if a teacher can share that, it helps pupils then go, oh, this is worth listening to. This might help me. I might forget it for 5 years, but then remember it in 10. Where else is that happening within the classroom, within this subject? But yeah, weaving it in.
Because I suppose there can be an understandable urge, need for teachers to go, okay, great, there's some cover now. I can go in and get on with some other things. But actually being present in the room is a form of your own sort of professional learning, isn't it? That can spark some of those ideas for your own curriculum design and planning that, you know, could mean that there's a bit more longevity. Mm. It's not just a sort of you parachuted in, you've done your bit, as Tom said, off you go, and that's sort of, that's it. It's sort of been ring fenced, but you know, it could have a bit more longevity if they come along, if they, like you said, work with you to look at the opportunities to make those connections.
But also on that note, like, because I'm often brand new to the pupils that I'm working with, whatever age they are, the teacher is the one with those connections. They've got the relationships. They know when it's impressive that a pupil is staying in the classroom or is answering any questions or how they are interacting. I don't always know that, so it's having that in as well from a teacher is so important, because they can see that sometimes they see their pupils in a different way, that they can see a different link, that when you're in front of a class and you're trying to manage everything else, you're almost getting to observe your own classroom, and that can be really beneficial, I think, for lots of things.
That's interesting. Yeah. It's a form of team teaching in a way.
It is, yeah. There was a really interesting moment actually when you were talking in the original panel discussion where you said that you did more work with primary than secondary at the moment. And there was, of course, that thing you said about, you know, you've got to meet the what you've promised your funders, get your data in, prove you've done your outputs. And it was interesting as well, because some of the student teachers, you know, they seem to sort of be asking the question, well, how do I get permission to ask you to come in? You know, because, of course, early on, we don't realise necessarily that sometimes we can just go ahead and make contact. So I was sort of curious, really, is it that primary are just more kind of proactive in coming forward to you? Is it the funders like funding you to go into primary, or is it you just don't get inquiries from secondary because maybe they perceive too much inflexibility in secondary in where can they fit you, where can they put you? Have you any sense of why that is you're in primary more?
Probably a combination of everything that we had. To be honest, the reason I got all the primary bookings, I sent out one email, a mail merge, and it was to RCT and Caerphilly and those sorts of areas, and they bit my hand off and I've been inundated for 6 months, which is wonderful and fabulous. But I think it's, in a way, I do believe that in a lot of ways, primary is better set up for aspects of curriculum for Wales, especially when it comes to weaving and collaborating. And with that whole class approach, it makes it much easier to bring in external participants, I think. And I think there's just, in a lot of ways, there are more barriers in secondary and more inflexibility, which is an opportunity and a challenge. Going back to the question, segue in there. But I think I think it's a huge plethora of different things. And I think it's also, primary schools are so much smaller, so it's much easier for one practitioner to see another practitioner bringing in an external person or saying, should we do this for all of year six? But logistically, trying to organise all of year eight getting a 1 hour session, that can be a huge, huge timetabling issue. So that's something we're trying to innovate and make easier as well for schools to have access to. So we're launching in June, actually, a big money lesson. So the idea is that it's more of like a 1 hour, whole year, whole school sort of setup instead, to make it easier, because logistically it can be so tricky for schools to allow and find this time.
I suppose there are so many places you could fit, aren't there? I mean, the obvious thing would be maths, but then maths have probably got things they need to get done. And it could be PSE, it could be form time, it could be one of these sort of things that schools run about, just sort of general personal education effectiveness, that kind of thing. And
Completely.
reaching the right person or somebody maybe having that strategic vision. So I suppose your message would be secondary schools, get me in then.
Yeah, I suppose get me in, but also not just me. Like Money Ready, yes, do get us in. We are fully funded as well, because that was another question, that we don't charge schools when we do our delivery so that we can offer this for free. And a lot of other charities and organisations do the same. I think the issue is it's just for teachers to be able to find that time to sit down and find out what is out there. That's the tricky thing, and we need to support teachers and able to do that and get them out in there. So we've only been in Wales for just under a year now, so we're starting to get out there, but there's so many other organisations that are doing brilliant things, and it's finding that opportunity for you as a teacher to go, what am I interested in? What are my learners going to benefit from? And then source that. That can be a bit of legwork.
An important starting point that another of our panellists discussed was knowing your community of learners as a first port of call, really getting to understand that community, their needs, before looking to do your homework as to what's out there in the third sector or beyond, who you can connect with to support you in your endeavours to create authentic context for learning. So our next panellist, who we're going to speak to on location in her school, is Elizabeth Berry, who's head teacher of Bryn Celyn Primary School in Cardiff.
Bryn Celyn is an area just in the northeast of Cardiff. We feed into Llanishan High School. The school's in an area of a high level of deprivation. We fluctuate around 70% free school meals, obviously a bit complicated nowadays because we've got universal free school meals, so unpicking that is such a bit of a challenge. But so we've got about 70% free school meals. We're a really mixed and diverse school, which makes it a really exciting, vibrant place to work. About 33% of children have English as additional language. We're about 52% global majority, so families coming in and out from different countries. We have asylum seekers and refugees, the community is a small community. It's about 200 children. But we're also on the same site as a Welsh medium school. So we're sitting here in the building today with a Sgolpennagrois. That Welsh medium is heard throughout the school. And we also share the site with a Flying Start as well. So lots happening here. It's a really vibrant place to work.
And the curriculum for Wales makes this sort of big deal about making learning authentic. They talk a lot about connections with industry and the world of work and that sort of thing, but also just making it feel real to the pupils. So how important is that for your pupils? What sort of thing makes learning real for them?
Yeah, I mean, I really, really believe that authentic learning is the key. You know, at Bryn Celyn, attendance can be really challenging. We find that some families don't prioritise learning. But what we've done is we've had a big curriculum review in the last couple of years and really looked at how we can make learning meaningful to the children, and so that they are engaged in that and they're interested and want to take that learning further beyond the classroom. I'm just thinking about some examples of some of the things that we've done recently. We had a lovely project. We worked with colleagues from the School of Architecture town planning with the local authority. We looked at Pentwyn as an area. And we looked at the type of area it was. And if the children were to design an area for Cardiff, what it would look like. Okay, so they went around the area and they picked out things that they liked, the park and the leisure centre and, you know, and the shops and those things. But then they also identified areas that could be improved. So, you know, they were looking at litter and the impact of that around the local area. And so they were able then to take that learning back to the classroom and use some technology to identify specific areas within their school community that perhaps would need improving. And as part of that, they were making suggestions about how they might improve it. And then from that learning, then they were able to take that to a conference and share it with town planners. And that was really powerful for them because they could then inform and feed into future plans for Cardiff. They were looking at areas in Llanisian about how there's an area over on the other over there that is about to be developed, and they were taking some of the feedback from the children and using that to inform their town planning. So I think that was a really tangible and important part of the learning. It also brought in the work on listening to children, you know, that the UNCRC writes to the child, how do we listen to them? And, you know, them having a voice and impacting on the future of their city. So that was really, really powerful for them and really enjoyable, I think, as well.
And what struck me about that when you were telling our student teachers, I actually grew up in Pentwyn myself, and what was quite fascinating was that giving the children the opportunity to get out into their own community and, as you say, have a say about, there were some interesting questions, weren't there, about, you know, where, was it about safety? Where do you feel safe?
Yes, and, absolutely. Yeah.
You know, that's quite interesting to be, you know, to be growing up in that community, but then to have some quite pokey questions
provoke
a response.
And I think we talk about children feeling safe all the time here in Brinkhellyn. You know, there are some families that are facing some challenges, and where there are some children who don't feel safe when they're out in the streets, and, you know, lots of them are playing out and, you know, with older children. And so I think it's important to us that the children understand what safe looks like and feels like, and that when they are in school they have those feelings, but also what can we do for their future to help them feel safe within their own community. You know, we've built our curriculum in Brinkhellyn on the Future Generations Act 2015, so it's about well-being and how they are part of their community, how they are part of the culture of the locality, you know, how they contribute to the sustainability of their area. And it's been really fascinating to use that as a driver for the work we've done on curriculum.
Mm-hmm. And I, reflecting now on some of the questions that came from our student teachers following your talk, and one of the sort of concerns they had was about how you make a project like that happen. Mm. I suppose when you're a newcomer into the profession, you're a newly qualified teacher, you can sort of feel a bit like, well, do I just ask? Do I go to the head? Do I ask for money? How do I make those things happen? Yeah. And you had some words of wisdom to say to them. What would you say to those
students? I mean, just start. The main thing is have the positive attitude and go and talk to people. Find the people who are the gatekeepers. Who can you speak to find out about that community? You know, are there teachers who've worked in the school? Are there parents that you can work with? Are there local businesses? And I think that, you know, lots of people want to be involved, want to have that positive impact on school life. And, you know, I think I said to the students on that day, it's, you know, head teachers love a bit of enthusiasm, and they love it when student teachers come with an idea and say, what can I do about this? I think I also said, you know, we all got the challenge of budgets. So if we can be creative about how we manage those opportunities, I think that's really important. But, you know, it's very unusual for a head teacher to say no when something sounds exciting. I know myself, when I've got some of my staff coming to me and saying, I've got an idea, I'd say, okay, great, let's make it happen. And how are we going to make it happen? So I think it's the important thing is, you know, start small as well. I think just keeping control of exactly what you want to do and knowing what you want as part of the planning process, and what do you want to get out of it ultimately, what skills do you want to develop as part of that, is really important. But yeah, keep it manageable, because we have a habit as teachers, don't we, to take things a little bit too far sometimes, and then before we know it, it's taken over our whole life. So yeah, my advice would be definitely start small and speak to those gatekeepers.
Thinking about that planning project you did, you can easily work out what the kind of fun learning stuff will be there. Lots of maths, measuring and all kinds of things.
Yeah.
But then there is that other side to it, isn't there? Which is that they're getting out and they're thinking about their community and other communities and making comparisons. Yeah. It's making me think about a piece of work that one of our student teachers did, which is also featuring in this year's series of episodes, where he was working in a school elsewhere in Cardiff and sort of came to the understanding that despite the fact the school was relatively central in Cardiff, I think, the pupils never went to the centre of Cardiff, hardly at all. And it makes you think that the one aspect of privilege is mobility, you know, the ability to go around and actually have those broad horizons and know about other places. And I suppose one of the outcomes of that project is that maybe your pupils who come from a more deprived background have become aware of much more of the place in which they live and much more of how things could be.
Yes, no, I absolutely agree with that. And you know, making those comparisons is really interesting. We quite regularly take children out from Brinkell Inn because we want them to come out to leave the community and have the experience. You know, I talk about a curriculum of opportunity, you know, and just catching the bus into the centre of town and catching a train. We've recently, one of our nurture provision groups caught the bus from school down into town, caught the train down to Barry Island, okay? And all of the skills that brought, that was authentic learning, you know, that was holding the money in the hand to pay for the bus, you know, keeping their train ticket, you know, ordering their ice cream in the afternoon, splashing around in the water. Those were perhaps things that maybe they don't have the experience of, okay? But that is authentic learning. Those are those opportunities that perhaps some of the children that we work with might not have on a regular basis, but through that, they're developing speaking and listening skills. They are collaborating with their peers. You know, they're developing relationships with the adults and the other children. You know, I mean, the opportunities for skill development are huge. And if you've got the staff who are willing to do that, I think that's really powerful. It's meaningful to them. It makes it exciting. Yes, it's about them having fun because we want them to have those memories. You know, and we can capture that through photographs and videos. We actually created a book of that visit. You know, so it's all of those things that they can take away for their future life. They understand you know, how to use cash because they've paid for their bus. I think that's been really powerful for us and quite freeing for the staff as well, that they don't have to write everything in an exercise book to prove that it's been done.
Yeah,
I think that's really important. You know, the listening to learners that we can do as senior leaders as part of monitoring is really key there, because I don't need to see it written down in a book. I can actually have a conversation with them and I can see the level of engagement from the conversations that I've had with them.
And as we saw earlier on with your example of the town planning project,
yeah,
working with external providers is a really important piece of the puzzle. Mm. You'll remember that when we did this session to the student teachers, we had Katie Beresford from Money Ready talking about how that charitable organisation comes into school. You know, to what extent is it important to use a school to be working with those external, because it's a great idea, get them mobile, get them out, but yes, we also sort of need to give them a sense of what's out there too. So
we
is
absolutely
that important?
Do. Yeah, no, I think that's really important. Working more widely with external partners is really key. You know, whether that's local businesses, so around here there's lots of local businesses. We are just setting up our big box Boyd, so the community fridge, and you know, we're working with the local supermarkets and Fair Share to bring that food in, so that the children will then be able to run the shop, the pay as you feel shop, themselves. You know, they're thinking then about sustainability again, thinking about that, you know, that knowledge of how to use money effectively, budgeting, you know, even just down to weighing the amount of vegetables that they're selling, you know. So I think it's really important that we bring those people in, because they have other skills as well. They can support the teaching and learning. You know, they really can enthuse those children. We had a group of children recently go out down to, I think it was Lidl or Aldi, just down the road, and say to them, you know, we're about to have an Eat the Rainbow Day. It was all about thinking about healthy eating. We're going to have a campaign on Friday. Would you be able to donate any fruit and vegetables as part of our campaign? But the skills that they got on the way to do that, you know, they were practicing crossing the road. They were walking sensibly along the road with the member of staff. They were crossing the road safely. They were approaching members of staff within the supermarket and asking them and explaining what they were doing. You know, and those wider skills are really important.
And I suppose thinking about I suppose if we're going to be super on message, thinking about the four purposes of the curriculum in Wales, which sets out those aspirations for what we want education to do for the people who experience it.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking, you know, you never want to stereotype anybody in a community, but you know, you've painted a picture that it's quite a deprived area.
Yeah.
There's quite a lot of poverty. There's a lack of opportunity. We're a little bit far out from the centre of town here as well.
Yeah.
And I just wonder whether approaching education in that sort of way that you're talking about perhaps makes the pupils who've experienced it maybe advocates for their community, advocates for themselves more sort of. And you know, you talk about someone being entitled as if it's a bad thing sometimes, but in a good way, entitled.
Yeah, absolutely.
And perhaps more positive about education and what they experience for the kids maybe that they're going to send into education.
Absolutely. We talk about healthy and confident, we talk about ethically informed, you know, all of these things, creative and ambitious, you know, all of those things are key features of what we want to offer in Bryn Celyn. They're part of our curriculum and learning and teaching offer. You know, they sit really well with that future generation's work on and how we've developed our curriculum. You know, I, as a school leader, I want the children in my school to be ambitious. I want them to see a future within Pentwyn, but more widely, whether that's in Cardiff and Wales or more widely across the world. You know, we want them to be ethically informed, and especially when we work in a community which is very mixed. There has been a huge change in the community in Bryn Celyn. It's a relatively, my understanding is it's a relatively cheap area of Cardiff to work in, to live in. Where families are being housed, if they're asylum seekers as well, that with that comes some complications for the community. We have experienced some mistrust and some hate crime as well. And so we are kind of thinking about how we develop our teaching and learning so that we can become a tolerant community. That isn't just about working with the children. That's about how we open our doors for the families, you know, regular contact with family engagement opportunities to sort of enrich the learning, but also to bring those families in together so we can develop that sense of community. And at Bryn Celyn, we regularly use food for that.
Speaking our language now.
Yeah, absolutely. It's all about how we can share a meal together. We had an iftar event recently, and that was a really powerful way to invite our families in to share a meal together after fasting during the day. And, you know, those have been really powerful experiences for the children. They have absolutely loved that. It's complex to work here, but exciting. Because no day is the same, as is with any school, you know, and with every school, there are complex situations that we deal with every day, but it's about how we make that learning engaging for the children so they can see how meaningful it is for them for their future.
And that's probably a very good place to stop. Liz Berry, thank you very much for hosting us today and for contributing to this episode. We're going to say goodbye now and get back on the road back to Kincoy campus.
Great, thank you.
So there we go, two interesting people talking about authentic contexts for learning and hopefully inspiring a few people to go out and do something a little bit creative. Short slot time. Now we're back in our studio. Emma, we've got something interesting.
Yes, well, we felt it would be a massive injustice if we didn't give a shout out to Money Ready's website. So if you're interested in what they do, you can access their website at moneyready.org.
And for something to try, we were chatting away, weren't we, on our way back from speaking to Liz, because we went down to Liz's school. And rather than jump in the car with all our gear, we actually got on the bus. I got on the bus. You actually walked from your house, didn't you?
Yes,
yeah.
I did.
And we then walked up through the local catchment area to go and see the school, because obviously Liz painted quite a picture of it being a very particular kind of area of Cardiff. And it was really interesting to walk through the catchment. And so my something to try, particularly for student teachers, maybe this one, when you find out when you're going out on placement, would be to go and have a little wander around the catchment area, particularly maybe before you start the placement, before the pupils know who you are and they're not going, "All right, sir," every time you walk down a street. But go and have a little bit of a wander around the catchment area of the school, because I think we're feeling more and more, aren't we, that those schools who really have a grip on what's going on really know who it is that they're serving.
They do. And in fact, there are some brilliant senior mentors out there that work with student teachers allocated to their school, who will sometimes take them on a bus tour around the catchment area and will talk them through some important things. And, you know, it might feel a little bit strange actually to be doing that, but, you know, getting a sense for the community and the area, it's something that you can't really get just from reading an inspection report or the school website. You need to actually be there to get a sense of that community.
Yeah, and certainly if you just sort of drive from your house in the car through the school gates into that sort of slightly sealed environment, you can miss a certain amount, I don't know, of the vibe. So there's something to try, particularly if you are about to start in a new school. A little bit of a little incognito wander around the catchment.
There you have it. Okay, another episode, Authentic Context. We hope you found that interesting, and we will be back with you in 2 weeks' time.
You've been listening to Emma and Tom Talk Teaching, a podcast about all things education, presented by Emma O'Doher and Tom Breeze. The special guests this episode were Katie Beresford from Money Ready and Liz Berry from Bryn Celyn Primary School in Cardiff. Thanks to them for taking part. Podcast artwork is by Beth Blandford and the music is by Cameron Stewart. Technical support from Peter Lambin and the studio manager is Adrian Rapps. We'll be back in a fortnight with something else interesting. Until then, take care and enjoy teaching.